is a Woodside Church podcast.
Last week, preached about. So this is how he coined the series, or coined the preach that he was preaching. Evangelism, more sailing, less rowing. And these are the 7 points he preached, which are up there. Right? So they go like this. First point, be hearers and doers of the word of God. Let's step out in obedience to God's word. Second point, multiply prayer. As we do this, let's keep praying. And that's what God taught us. Let us engage with the lost. Let us be on the lookout for those whom God is seeking, God's heart is for. In that, as we are building relationship with these people, let's find the people of peace. Fifthly, let us build them into a community. Let's grow in friendship and add them into the community. Sixthly, we stay with them and help them as they discover, as they ask questions, as they want to know more about it. As we build this relationship, help them and support them, guide them, show them Jesus to them. And finally, help them discover Jesus. These were the points. Martin Tippett was wonderfully putting it up. He was also talking about certain flaws that we stepped into very faithfully, but we did see that some of the things didn't work at this present time. So he was encouraging us to do it in a different way, but the message is the same, the gospel is the same, our God is the same, and we step out in faith. And those points were helpful for us to do evangelism, right? What I'm going to be preaching today is more a prequel to this. How many of us have watched movies where the first movie comes out and you expect, okay, that's a great movie, and the second movie, part two, or a second movie comes out and we think it's going to be the follow-on from that movie, but actually it is the prequel. It sets the scene of how even the first movie got into place. This is more like this, okay? As I was praying about it and preparing for it, Martin almost talked everything, okay? He explained everything wonderfully. So I'm going more like a prequel to what he was talking. So imagine a race. When an athlete is ready to run, they just don't say, come, and when they're ready, there, they just don't say, go, and they don't run. Yeah, you've seen races, okay? What they do is, these are the three words they say, on your mark, get set, and then they say, go. Okay? They prepare the athletes. They get onto position. At this time, when they say, on your mark and get set, is the time where they completely focus on the goal. They forget about everything else around, completely focused on the goal. They prepare. They are ready to run. And when they are ready to run, they say, go, and everybody runs. This is almost like that, a prequel to what he was teaching us. Okay, Jesus was very good at this. Jesus was very, very good at this. He never said to his disciples, you see, the great commission that he gives, we read, it comes towards the end of his period in this world. As a man, he was in flesh, right? Towards the end, he showed them how to do it. He did it with them. He encouraged them. He coached them. He supported them. And then, when he knew that they were ready, he gave them a great commission. He was very good at it. So he really prepared them, made them ready to run. On your mark, get set, and then go. Okay? Good. Now, I don't know how many of you have been involved in evangelism. Evangelism sometimes seems to be a big word, right? It's like, oh, it's those who are called for evangelism, those who are specially chosen for this. Actually, Jesus puts it simple. This is anyone who follows Jesus. We do this, one, spontaneously, two, naturally, right? This is not as a tick list, or this is not as an added thing for them to, oh, right, I need to achieve this, you don't know. This comes as an overflow of the love we have for Jesus. Overflow of the presence of Holy Spirit in our life, which outpours, and we do it naturally and spontaneously. But before going into it, I just want to ask few questions to us. I'm asking myself as well as I'm doing this, okay? I really seriously want you to think about this. If you want to, if you're happy with it, you can share the answers with the person sitting next to you. That will help us build our faith. If you don't want to, don't feel free. You can ask yourself, you can be quiet. First question, how natural and comfortable am I in bringing Jesus in a meaningful conversation within my friendship circle? When I mean friendship circle, outside church. We do this very naturally, easily, while we are in church, while we are with church friends. But my question is, outside church, how natural and comfortable am I in bringing Jesus? Just giving some time to think, that's it. The next question. When was the last time I talked about Jesus in a meaningful conversation within my friendship circle? It's outside church. Can you think of when? You and I. This brings us to a very important question. If it's been a long time or never, the question is then, why? Why? The final question to ask ourselves. What is holding you back? What is holding you back? Are we ready to run? You know, Martin preached about the seven steps. That is when you're ready to go. Do you understand? That is when you're ready to go. It's like, it's almost like when you go, do these steps. Follow these. This is helpful. But my question is, are you ready to go? What is holding me back? What is holding you back? It's important that we answer this question to ourselves, because this is part of each one, every one of our life. This is not for the chosen few. This is not for the highly talented and gifted. This is for each and every one of us who are in relationship with Jesus, who have chosen to follow Jesus, right? This is what Jesus did. Before even he sent out the disciples, we have so many incidents before that. He sent out, he showed them what to do, he taught. You know, Martin was talking about harvest. He was talking about how the harvest is plenty, the workers are few, and so many things we've been studying, which was so helpful. But I just want to bring your attention back into almost like on your mark, get set, get ready mode. First of all, it's important for us to understand the harvest and workers, because that is what Jesus was talking about. What Jesus was talking and how the way he was actually building the disciples around him has been recorded by Matthew from his own experience, by John from his own experience, and Luke from what he heard has recorded it really well. In all these three things, these are the things, and all the time when Jesus was sent, these words are recorded about harvest and workers. But each of them, from what they understood and what they really, you know, what really touched them, they express it in a slightly different way to get in order to help us to understand the full picture. Jesus was very clear about harvest and workers. Why don't we read that? First Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 38. This is where the passage recorded. It'll come up on there. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, remember, then he says, looking at this, when he's doing ministry, he looked at it. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. First of all, Jesus explains about this harvest, okay? What he's meaning by this harvest is he's looking around and seeing people who are being harassed and who are helpless. He was filled with compassion for them. This is the fact. This is the truth. You look out around in this world, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your friendship circle, in Great Denham, wherever you are, this is true. People are in a state of harassment and helplessness. But nobody will accept it. Nobody will agree it. Nobody will express it that way. But when Jesus sees this is what he means by harvest. The harvest is ready. He's saying he's looking at people and saying, they are helpless. They are being harassed. Where does this lead them to? This leads them to rejection. This leads them into depression. This leaves them in a place where they settle in for something very less. This leads them to a place where they are filled with questions, but settle with certain simple or not even answers, whatever they get in this world, and they settle with it. They think this is it, and that's it. They are filled with questions. People around us all have big questions, but they won't ask. They dare not ask. They're already harassed. They are helpless. This is the nature around, you know, Jesus is saying. So about the harvest, you want to know, you want to understand the harvest? This is what Jesus is talking. There are people in this world whom you know, whom you talk with, whom you deal with every single day, who are harassed and helpless. The next passage, John 4, 34 to 36. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. What a saying, amazing. Do you not say there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruits for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. Now when John, when he tells his disciples, you know, when it's recorded in John, he says, look up and lift your eyes, see the fields are ready. He even quotes one of the saying in those times in Judea. They say, you know, when they say, you need to wait for the best time. You know, the harvest doesn't happen just when you sow. You don't expect the result the same night. You don't expect the result the same day or the next day. You need to wait for the harvest. You heard of that saying, right? But I tell you, with regards to God's harvest, Jesus says, they are ready. In other words, he's trying to say, it is time. It is time. And that's why he's saying that. It is time. Don't wait. You don't have to wait for another time. Don't think, oh, I need to be patient on this. No, it is time. In other words, what I understand is that if you don't act now, you will lose the harvest. As much as how sowing and preparing the field, you know, farming is so important, one of the most important things is when the harvest is ready, you need to harvest it. Farmers here, the people who do gardening, you will understand even better. You need to do it then. Otherwise, what happens? The harvest goes waste. It will spoil. You lose it. All your hard work, right? And God is saying, he's urging. There's an urgency. He's telling everyone, guys, the harvest is ready. It is time. We need to act immediately. We want to start now. The final verse here, Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 3. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way, behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." Whoa. Look at that. This was very encouraging when I read that. The key thing is, the harvest is not yours. The harvest is not mine. The harvest belongs to the Lord. In other words, he's saying, I'm already prepared. I'm already in the game. All that you need to require is step out now. Step out now and reach out, and I will bring it. You heard of this word, isn't it? In the early church, it very clearly says, God added people into the church. It is God who adds people into the church. Don't think it's your words, and don't think it's your, you know, great explanation and presentation. No, we go depending on the Holy Spirit, trusting him, and sharing the love of Jesus, showing the love of Jesus. That's it. And God is the one who brings his harvest in. The harvest belongs to the Lord. That was very releasing for me. That is releasing. And then I think, oh, it does not depend on me. That's great. Because I know what harvest I would get if I do that. You see, harvest belongs to the Lord. And this is what we need to understand about the harvest. The people are harassed and helpless. It is time. There is an urgency. And then the harvest belongs to the Lord. Now about the workers. We're going through the same passage that we read. But we are not going to read the whole passage. We've read the whole passage. So we're just going to read the key verse. Matthew 9, 36. When he saw the crowds, now he's talking about the workers, okay? He had compassion on them. So as a worker, as a laborer, when you step out, what do we need? The same compassion Jesus had for the helpless and the harassed. Are you filled with compassion and burden? Guys, this is very key for us sharing the gospel, the love of Jesus with everyone. I pray today, even as we are meditating on this word together, that the compassion and the burden that Jesus had for the people around fill us. Fill us. What happens is when we have this compassion and burden, we won't remain silent. We want to act. That motivates us to act. When you have a burden, what happens when you have a burden? You can't sit still. You can't sit still, and there's a pain in it. You want to do something. I've just recently, please don't mistake, I'm not trying to say, oh, I'm like this. No, I'm just sharing my experience. I see the more and more I go and keep growing in God, I feel I have no time to waste. I feel always my mind is constantly thinking, what can I do for these people? What can I do? Oh, I go to school, pick my children, and say, oh, there's loads of children here. Is there an opportunity here? How can I help them? My heart is being filled with the burden and compassion. Paul, when he writes, I have pain, like, you know, childbirth pain for this cause. Are you filled with such a burden and compassion for the people around you? It is so important. And Jesus, because of that, he went and did it, and he also sent his disciples into the harvest. The second thing, John chapter 4, verses 35. Do you not say there are yet 4 months? Then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. As workers, He wants us to look and lift up our eyes. Because the disciples were seeing that and they didn't notice it. You see? And then he's saying, come on, look, lift up your eyes. He's lifting their gaze. He's setting a vision before them. He's setting the scene before them. He's wanting us to be alert and very intentional in every of our relationship, in every of our action. How many of us set out the day, many of us already might do, set out the day praying, Lord, I believe there is harvest where you're sending me today. Lord, I pray that help me find the man of peace today. In every conversation, in every person that I meet, in everything that I deal with, may there be an opportunity. May my eyes grab the opportunity and see what is there and then witness Jesus to the other person. Be alert and very intentional. And finally, Luke 10, verses 1 to 3. Saying all this, encouraging this, you know, be workers, you know, pray to the Lord of harvest and all that. Finally, he says, verse 3, he says, go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Wow, what an encouraging statement to say before you leave. Great, eh? I always thought Jesus was not the best at advertising, right? No, he was very clear. He had no strings attached. He's a God who's a God of integrity, and he explains everything very carefully. What he was trying to say to the disciples is that till then they were very comfortable around Jesus, seeing all the miracles and all that, you know, having great treatment and all that. Now he's saying, I'm going to send you out as lamb amidst the wolves. What he's trying to say simply is this. It's time to get uncomfortable. As workers, we need to get uncomfortable. I was talking with Martin about this. Martin, more sailing, less rowing. Does that mean we relax? You know, when we think of more sailing is, oh, no rowing now. Let's relax and sail when the wind comes and hit the sail. No. Please don't misunderstand. That's not what he was trying to say. And he was like, no, not at all. That's not what I was trying to say. It's, you know, sailing is hard. It's hard work. You need to catch the wind, put the sail in the right time, turn things around. It is constant work. It is hard work. It's just that doing the work in line with the wind rather than me doing all the work. Do you understand? That's the difference. It is hard work. Things will get tough. You won't get the best experience wherever you go. You won't get the best treatment because of this cause. But get ready to get uncomfortable as workers. We are in for this. I just want to read a verse about Paul and Barnabas into this and then move on to the next one, which really catches me every time. Every time. I find it very hard to move on from there. Yeah, this is recorded in Acts chapter 14, where Paul and Barnabas are set out to, you know, Lystra, a place called Lystra, and Derbe, and Iconium, all these places in Galatia, okay? And then they're going to preach the gospel there. This is what happened. Verses 1 to 3, I'm just reading bits so that we don't have to read the whole thing. Verse 1 says, now at Iconium they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Then the story goes on. This was the experience they had. Verse 19 onwards. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having persuaded the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Just a one-liner. By the way, they stoned him and they thought he was dead. He was beaten. They thought there was no life in him. They threw him outside the city. Just in the saying, what? Verse 20, but when the disciples gathered about him. He rose up and entered the city. He's talking about Paul. He rose up and entered the city. And on the next day, I get stuck there. He went on with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. I really find it hard to even grasp in my mind, what is this Paul and Barnabas thinking? He was almost left dead, thrown outside the city. The Bible says, the next day he rose up and he went to the next city preaching the gospel. Church, my friends, I want to be as plain as what Jesus is saying here. It is going to be tough. But may the compassion and the burden of Jesus Christ fill us, that we will step out in faith, get uncomfortable, to fulfill all the purpose. It was great to sing here today morning. Blessing and honor. Yeah, let every tongue, every tribe bow before you, Lord. Let's bring that into fulfillment by stepping out in faith as workers. We understood about the harvest. We understood about workers. Let's step out in faith, right? Now, we're going to look at the last point what Martin was speaking about in his evangelism. He said, help the people whom you are building relationship with to discover Jesus. Many here might be like stirred up and thinking, yes, I want to do this. But within that, I don't know. People are asking questions, but I don't know how to handle this, how to reach out to them. And that's why we have a wonderful tool called Alpha. We have Alpha Course, right? That's what I'm going to be explaining a little bit about. I'm just going to, even if I get an opportunity, play some videos of it. How many of us know Alpha? Very good. How many of you have done Alpha? How many of us have run Alpha? Wow. Wonderful. Amazing. Great. I just want to say an encouraging story. Lisa, who's sitting at the background, you know, she, as part of another church, was one of the hosts hosting Alpha, and there was someone who knew, who came to that Alpha, and then through that Alpha, experienced God, experienced his love. Now, he's leading one of the sites for King Psalms Church. Isn't that amazing? It's brilliant, isn't it? So I just wanted to encourage, great. I know I've heard stories of Bernice and Peter running Alpha in their homes. Right. At one point in our Woodside church, we said, we are not going to do Alphas. Okay, don't mistake. What Martin and all the elders, what we were trying to say is, we used to run something called the Central Alpha. Okay, Alpha is a course where it is done over several weeks, based on arrangement. We invite people, new people, they can come. We have dinner together, we have relationship building fun together, and then we have some, you know, talks and discussions and a lot of things going on. What happens is that in the Central Alpha, what happened was you might bring a friend who's asking a question about Jesus, about faith. I have this question about life. We bring them and hand them over to the Central Alpha people. Now, you take care, I'm cut out. Do you understand? Halfway through the course, they may find it interesting to carry on, or they may not. Then you completely, you know, cuts off relationship. That's not the way Jesus wanted things to be done. As we said, last week, Martin talked about how Jesus was on about relationship-based evangelism. Right, that's where. Rather, there's another option called mini alpha we could do. Right? How do we do this? We could invite our friends, if anybody, you know, the man of peace, somebody who's asking questions about life. Oh, I just would like to know. Anybody, everybody is welcome. So you could even gather in your homes. That's how Bernice and Peter used to do. And there are certain topics that would be covered. Okay? If you want to know more about Alpha, and if you want to find support, materials and guidance to how to run it. Whoa, that's a simple 30-second, oh, it's playing again. 30 seconds explanation of what is alpha. Anybody who's with big questions, asking questions about is there more to life about, and why am I here, what is the purpose behind it, and all that, you could go into the website and find more details about it. What I'm going to be helping is I'm going to telling you a brief outline of how to do this. You could invite friends and agree for a timing that is perfect. It could be in your house, it could be in a cafe, it could be anywhere. And with the help of the materials that's provided there, go with certain discussions. The topics are like this. There are several topics. You could choose which one to do. The first one is there more to life than this? Then who is Jesus? Why did Jesus die? How can I have faith? Why and how do I pray? Why and how should I read the Bible? How does God guide us? Who is the Holy Spirit? What does the Holy Spirit do? How can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? How can I make the most of the rest of my life? And these are some of the topics that's being covered in this Alpha course. Okay? Depending on who you are involving in this course, you could choose which topic you want and what they are really looking for and all that. There might be some topics where you would need more help. For example, about how can I be filled with the Holy Spirit? Or other topics where you're not sure, that will always people be happy to come and help you. Right? You can talk to one of us if you're happy to run one in your house. We will help. The basic outline is this is how we do it. We build relationship and friendship with people, and then after this talk, friendship time, we have topical talks for which we have videos, nice videos, and all the topics that I mentioned already downloadable free of cost in the website. I've downloaded a few. We don't have time to play. I thought I'd play a sample and then show you how it is. Very, really high quality speakers and really helpful to understand and answer those questions, the topics that I've been talking about. And then we have discussions, and even the talks are designed in such a way that midway they will pause and ask a question and then open up a discussion. Nobody will be judged. Nobody is, everybody's got the freedom to speak out their heart and whatever they feel about it, contribute. And it's a very, very nice way of helping people to communicate and discover more about Jesus and this faith. So, may I encourage you, having understood the harvest, having understood who as workers we are, step out in faith. And if you are happy, and if you would like to run, one of the other tools Martin will be talking about next week is DBS, Discovery Bible Study, which we will discuss next week. But if you are interested in knowing more about this Alpha, or wanting to run this Alpha, or having a friend whom you think, how do I support them? We will be very happy to help you. I just want to finish and encourage with some exciting news, okay? A great opportunity. We all prayed for the Craft Cafe in Great Dunham, right? We all prayed for the Craft Cafe, and we were really working hard towards it. It was not this Saturday, gone the Saturday before that. It happened in the Wessex Hall, and we planned and arranged everything for 40 to 50 people, okay? Our tables and everything. There was a wedding happening downstairs, so we had limited provision. With that, we organized everything. Guess what? God answered our prayers, and we had over 100 people who attended Craft Cafe. Is that amazing? Isn't that amazing? In all that, the greatest thing was only about 30 people that we could count was from Woodside Church or from any other church. Of 70 people, nobody has been to a church before, or they didn't even know that there was a church happening on a Sunday here. They live in Great Denham, right in the heart of this place. There was over 70 people, and there was very good. We were very intentional. We had prayer request box there. We had prayer request people come in and put their prayer request, please pray for me. We had some really interesting conversation going on, around tables. There wasn't enough chairs. People were still standing and doing. Many said, we want to come again. And others said, we want to bring more friends next time. And now we are thinking, where are we going to fit them all? Yes. But why I'm saying this is the harvest is plenty. God is doing something. Okay? In this, we are going to be praying. This is just a baby step. Okay? This is just a baby step. This doesn't mean everything is done now. No, this is just a baby step. In this, God will show the man of peace, the people of peace, the people, and God will open up to a relationship with people who are harassed and helpless. So we can bring Jesus, we can introduce them to Jesus in their lives. So we want to continue to pray for that, and we want to do, oh, we want to explain more about this and all the teams. Okay, I know we've gone past a bit, but I really want to honor the people who worked really hard for this craft cafe. This team was led by Shanu and Fiona. Where are they? Where? Oh, Shanu, please stand up, please stand up. Where's Fiona serving? They are the team leaders. Can I also request Anna and Dean to stand up? Rock and Sharon, where are you? Carl and Daniel. No, you did a lot of work behind that. Where's my friend Shane? Shane. There you go, Shane. Tina and Lorraine, where are you? There you go. Please stand up. Yes. They've been really working hard with this baking, and you know, they had home-baked stuff there, coffee and tea. They had proper coffee. Do you know that? and so much so, and everybody who was there really enjoyed. They loved it. What a great opportunity, guys! You are workers. You are workers, and what a great example that you guys set. Please sit down, and may we all capture the heart of God in line with them and step out in faith. I just want to pray for us. I don't know how many of you are stirred up, but even as we pray now, the harvest belongs to the Lord. He's just looking out to us and saying, come on, workers, get on with it. May the compassion and the burden of Jesus fill us. May us be very alert and intentional, be very prayerful every single day, looking out and looking out for opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus, building a relationship with friends. It's time to get uncomfortable. It involves sacrifice and hard work. But remember, we are not alone in this. God is with us. Father, we humble ourselves. Lord, even during the worship towards the end, we just said, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Lord, we just don't want to just sing it and say it out of our mouth, but we want to be people who live it out. Father, fill us with your compassion and burden. Help us to go and reach out. We especially pray for Craft Cafe, Lord. Bless Craft Cafe, Father. And many, many from that, may they come to know your love. May they be added to your church by your grace, Father. Lord, we pray for those hearts who were stirred up to do Alpha, invite people for Alpha, run Alpha. Father, we pray that you bless this for us. And may we see your kingdom come. Thy will be done in Great Denham and around in Bedford and in the south of Bedford and all over the world, Lord. We ask all this in the wonderful, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Woodside Church podcast. For more information, visit woodsidechurch.com.